CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com. It is Wednesday, the 22nd of December, and we're in the downhill ride to Christmas and the New Year. In fact, this Friday is obviously Christmas Eve. Next Friday is New Year's Eve. And before you know it, we're in 2022, man. It's just around the corner. Sorry.
Somebody's do you do a New Year's party, Gareth?
No.
You've got a Christmas party.
No. I'm not going to be. Please. You know, catering for all these people is a pain in the backside, man. And it's expensive. I hate to sound like a miser, but geez, you end up spending a lot of money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's lots of cash.
Oh, for sure.
And especially if you say to people, I'll cater. Like I did the food for Saturday's party and it was amazing. It was like this huge spread of food and it was really good because I gave the caterers a budget and said, like, see what you can do with this. And they did an awesome job. There was so much food left over. I've been handing out food, well, not anymore, but like on Sunday and Monday, I was handing stuff out to anyone who was even slightly, if anyone looked hungry, they ended up with a plate of food from me. Ridiculous. Because I'm not one of those, you see, I don't have Tupperwares. So I don't know what to do with leftovers. I'm not one of those people. So if it isn't consumed, it's going to stand around and go off. So I have to give it away.
Yeah.
Oh, what was like the plate? Like what did they prepare?
So there were ribs, there were chicken skewers, there were little sliced pieces of fillet, there was some Mediterranean stuff like falafel and stuff like that. It was a good spread, you know. Some top class stuff. I was pretty impressed. Because what do I know about food? So when I say to someone, you know, I've got these people coming. Here's how much I want to spend. What can you do for me? I'm always impressed because I wouldn't know how to do any of that stuff. I can cook a steak.
I've always wondered why people don't cater Christmas. Yeah, why don't you just cater? Like chefs do it better than you.
Right.
I know people think, oh, no, but I put my soul into it.
Exactly.
Shut the hell up. Let a Michelin guy do it.
And we were talking about this yesterday with robots that can do this stuff, right? Like you get the professionals. Pay them the money because they are the professionals. They'll do an amazing job. And then you can just eat and enjoy.
You're going to spend the same amount of money.
You're going to spend the same amount of money. You're going to spend even more time. It's not worth it. I mean,
worse food.
Right.
Your food is definitely worse than a 5-star chef.
Yes.
It's definitely worse.
No, it's definitely worse. There's certain meals that they're not, no, Mulala, no. There's certain meals they just don't get it. They don't add enough, you know, je ne sais quoi to it. Okay. It doesn't have that thing. All right. And also, I know my family better than I know the chef, you know, who's preparing the food. I know, Uzi, if I'm doing like, they say, beef stew, for instance, that my family likes it a bit salty, or you know what, don't add the salt, just be adding other things. And no chef knows that. They're gonna cook it the way they cook it, and then you have the worst thing you can ever do is have a plate and then your family's just like, there's no flavor here. What's this?
But that's because
I like this.
But you obviously can cook, you see. This is the difference between you and me, is like I've put no effort into learning those skills, so it's going to be a desire. I just accept from the beginning that I'm not Jamie Oliver or Heston Blumenthal or Nigella Lord. I'm not those people. I'm never going to be those people. So I accept from the outset I'm going to be shit at this. So let me get in the professionals. It's like, you know, you've got to be humble enough, Simpiwe, to realize like you're not that master chef either. Like you think you are. Bulelo and I have got to the point where we know we're not. I know I can cook certain stuff moderately well, but trust me, there are people who can do that better than me, and I've accepted that. Simpiwe, humility please, girl. I mean, like, you're not the best chef in South Africa. I know it breaks your heart to hear it, but
I'm saying, Mike, who got a bit of soul with it, you know, it just got a bit of kick. It got a zest. It's something that no chef can give you. Okay, that's it.
All right.
Have you ever done a gastronomy food experience? Like, if you want to give yourself a present next year, so it's one of the coolest things. A friend of mine is one of very few in the country who does it properly, and where the chef comes around. I don't know if you have you done a gastronomy experience before.
No, I don't. No.
See, put on your list next year when you make some money.
No,
to do it for yourself.
No, because as much as that's something that you would like to do. I know I'm very basic when it comes to food.
I'm saying you have to do it with friends, though.
I'm not as sophisticated as you. To me, the meal is the excuse to get together with people you like.
I got you.
For you, the people you like are the excuse to have the meal.
Yeah, but
well, don't you also guys talk about the meals? Like, you'll be like, okay, now we're having like a steak. Was it like, you know, is it as tender? Did they really do a medium rare? Like, is it, is it crackling? Is it like, you guys don't do that. You don't look back and like, ooh, okay. There was no pasta flavor in my mouth.
No.
You know why I always save up to go to nice restaurants? If I go with someone I care about, and this is a lesson from my mom as well, is I never want to think about my food. So I want to know that it's quality. Mm. And the way I know it's quality, I never have to think about it.
Right.
It's how I ordered it. This is how it should taste, which means I get to spend time with you instead of going, yeah, my steak's a little cold. Also, now I'm in a bad mood. Now it's taking from us.
There are a lot of comments about this, but I agree. Like, this is the time of year, and with coronavirus and everything else, a lot of these chefs haven't had any work. So give them the money. Let them do it. They're good at it. They love it. They know it better than me. I'm gonna help them along with some cash. All right. So yesterday I went shopping.
And yes.
I went to a shopping center, a small-ish shopping center, which has got a Woolworths food, okay.
Smolanyana. In South Africa, we say Smolanyana.
But it's a big Woolworths food. It's very fancy. It's one of the bigger ones, right, where they sell more of the stuff. They have the more fridges and all that shit.
Do they even have a cafe there? Like, yes. You know, it's real lonely when the cafe is there.
So I went there for that because it was where I was doing my Christmas shopping. So I had to buy like 3 or 4 presents for people I hadn't yet got anything for. So now I'm finished. Christmas shopping's done. It was a piece of cake. Went into 1 or 2 shops, got what I needed for Christmas shopping. And then I thought, oh, okay, while I'm here, I might as well do the groceries for the rest of this week, for the weekend. And then I don't have to worry. Do one trip and it's all done. So what I didn't realize is that this particular center is a magnet for all the Hausfraus in the area. And now I know Bolelo, you're going to love this because you're always having a go at these. But let me tell you, yesterday, it's almost like a mind worm gets into these women's brains. And by the way, age is not a determining factor here. There were some of these women who were in their 50s and 60s, some of them in their 20s. Race is not a factor. Some of them were black and some of them were white. But you can see they all have money. And what they've become extremely good at is shopping, even though they hate it. You could see in the look on their faces as they're not enjoying this, but they become really expert shoppers. It's like if you went out with an expert hunter, he'd know, like, shh, there's the animal. Boom, and he'd shoot it and get it right every time. He's got this determination, this concentration, this focus. These women had this focus and this concentration, but only on getting the shit into their trolley. If you're in the way, God help you. They were smashing into each other. They were coming around the corner at speed. I walked out of there traumatized because I've never seen a feeding frenzy of Hausfraus in my life before like this. These women are all dressed to the nines, right, for the shopping.
Of course.
Because they know that they're going to see the competitive Hausfraus, the ones who they compete with in the neighborhood. I didn't realize this is the place they all congregate, even though it's unwillingly. And they march down those aisles, man, with a determination. And God help you if you're in the way. Like, if you're an inexperienced shopper like me, I'm not a big grocery shopper. I don't know what I'm doing. Most of the time I walk in, I'm like, yeah, that might be nice. These women have lists. They know where everything is. They zero in. They know the prices. They are in a hurry. There was one large woman who I seem to have entered the shop at the same time she did. So I knew, oh no, now I'm going to be with her the whole way through each aisle, right? But little did I know, she had a game plan. She knew exactly where she was going to go. And I needed to be careful because I got in her way, not the other way around.
Woo! Yeah.
Let me tell you, it's frightening. And you don't realize if you've been a housewife for a long time, and again, no disrespect to housewives, no disrespect to stay-at-home moms or anybody who does this. You become really good at that stuff the rest of us can't keep up with you, and we feel like we are amateurs and we're in your way. It's like, I suppose, in sport, if you have a whole bunch of professionals playing and then you let one or two amateurs into the game, they just don't know where to start. They're always left behind. That's how I felt in the shop yesterday. By the time I eventually got out of Woolworths, I was like, oh my God. Yeah. And I'd forgotten to bring shopping bags because obviously I'm amateurish about this. So I had all my stuff loose in the trolley, which is like so, you know, they were all looking at me like, oh, you just don't know what you're doing. You're so useless. And then I'm packing all this.
I kind of feel where they're coming from, God. You know. Like,
it's horrible.
I'm not a housewife yet, hopefully, but I get where they're coming from, especially this time of year. You want to get the best of whatever you're buying, right? Mm. And you know that there's going to be the shops are packed. There's other people buying, so you have to kind of be a savage in this. Yes. You have to be like, I want that gammon, and I want the best one, and right. I need to make sure that I get it first, or else you know I'm not going to have a great Christmas lunch.
You just made such a good point. I didn't think about that, but obviously it's the week of Christmas, so this is where obviously they're also, you know, they're under the cosh. They've got to do all this cooking, and they've got to do so. This is game time. This is like the lead up to the Super Bowl for these women. This is what it is.
Huh. And imagine you're trying to impress your mother-in-law who's been on your case for the whole year, and you're just like, oh, if I don't get this Christmas lunch right, it's tickets for me. It's the pressure is on. So I understand they needed to get in there, and they're like, I'm not going to buy anything on the 24th of December, because that's also the thing. You buy things now, and then you realize as you're cooking, shucks, I didn't buy the cream. So they're avoiding that. Those ladies are.
And let me tell you, these women are not interested in specials. They're not interested in advertising. They don't care about prices even. None of them are looking at that. They know what they want. They know where to get it. They know that they're going to pay for it. They're after
the Christmas lunch meal has already been discussed. We're like, okay, this year we're having gammon. Last year we had turkey. Let's spice it up. Let's get smoked turkey. Okay. I know that smoked turkey is sold at Woolies. So they even know the stores that sell these things. Like, you have to be serious about life. You also know where to get the best spice for what. So you'll be like, okay, I'm going to add this and this spice. Mm-hmm. I'll get it at the spice store. Okay, cool. That's one trip. Oh, I need to get like milk and whatnot. Oh, okay. Pick and Pay has better milk, so we'll get the milk there. Like, it's a whole thing. By the time they leave the house, they're on some, I have an hour. Let's go.
Right. So I was the one who was holding back their productivity. So instead of me doing what I would usually do and complaining about people in shops who are clogging up the aisles or looking at things, you know, getting their trolleys in the way, I was that person this time. So I should, just like I told Simpiwe earlier, to have some humility. It's my turn to have some humility and accept I was the mistake. I was the one holding things back. I was getting in the way. It is my fault. Those women, I want to apologize to all of you in the shop yesterday that you had to.
You probably left them traumatized. They're like, oh, there was this white man. He just didn't move. He just absolutely didn't move. Like, oh, and I just, and all I wanted was a salt.
Yes, exactly.
I think I know more TV.
I mean, he's in the way.
I think I know more TV, but I didn't have the time. I just,
asshole.
I did not have it.
Right.
Yeah, and you know
and
what?
I gave him this prick.
Yeah. I actually read in the Sunday Times that he's been fired. I'm glad. Yeah.
Is that all he does? He just wanders around in the stores. Does he have a job?
Yeah, exactly.
Fire him again. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I wish I could fire people with my Woolworths card. I do.
But,
I'd start
you know
with
what?
Him. He's a monster.
In defense of people like me, and by the way, that's another thing. I didn't have my Woolworths card on me, and then this one woman behind me is like looking at me like, you don't have your Woolworths card.
Oh, my
God. You're in serious.
You were an amateur.
You're in serious.
It was amateur hour.
So Elon
is a real thing.
Elon is God says, just use the apps. Shopping apps saved me. I only go to the shops for cigarettes now. Yeah, but you know what the problem is with those apps? I go on there and then I want to buy something and they don't have stock of that thing. And then I'm like, cancel. Rather just go in and get it myself. Because then I can see with my own eyes they don't have stock. I don't believe that those apps, they don't know what they're talking about half the time.
And we share a policy. I don't do leftovers at my house because I like to eat my food fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem is, I've realized, you know, maybe you haven't looked at this, but when I go to the shops and let's say I love grapes, for instance,
right,
is one might be expires on the 18th. The other one expires on the 21st.
Yeah, you get the 21st.
I want that one. They don't do that for me.
Right.
See, there's these little idiosyncrasies. I need the 22nd.
And I think
these little things.
I think with the app one, because you're not there to touch the Avo yourself, they're going to give you the one that's ripe today. And then you're going to end up, because, you know, see on the app, then they can say, oh, sorry, we took the freshest, most up-to-date one. We have bullshit. I'm not going to use the app.
Fresh produce, you want to go and check yourself. Well said. Our general manager, Greg.
Yeah.
No, go ahead, Gareth.
No, right. It's like clothes shopping as well. You can't do that on an app. You need to go and try this stuff on.
Yeah. Especially if you're buying nice clothes.
What were you going to say about you and Greg?
Plus, you got a tailor, nice clothes. So I suggested to him, and this might be a gajillion dollar idea, is I would pay $500 extra to have an employee of Woolworths, right, put VR goggles on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, walk around. I want to look at the stuff in the shops. And he's got an earpiece, and I'm telling him what to do. Put that in the trolley. Go and pay for it. I've already EFT'd. Deliver that stuff. You know what I mean? Because as much as I'm a lists guy, sometimes I'm walking.
Lello, this is such a waste of time.
That pastrami looks amazing.
Either you go for the app and you let them do the shopping for you, or you go in yourself. Yeah. You want some kind of solution where you've got virtual reality headsets on some member of staff, and then they're going to have to walk through the shop for you? You are
Then he's going to complain at the speed that they're walking.
No.
Then he's going to complain about, no, not that one. Milelo, no, chief, no.
I'd rather do that than have the guy who thinks he's a big time, he thinks he's Gordon Gekko, in the shops talking on his, it's a big deal. I think it's a conglomerate. And plus we're trying to open a new office in Congo.
So a lot of people are going to have to deal with all of that now. It's that time of year where you go Christmas shopping and you're going to encounter all the people who you never usually see in the shops, the people who are there professionally, like all those women I saw yesterday in the Woolworths food. I mean, you got to just be ready for it. And for many people, Christmas shopping can be a traumatic experience. It's not always fun.
Absolutely.
You come in with the best of intentions.
Absolutely.
You go, all right, today I'm excited. I've decided I'm going to spend some money on the people I love. I'm going to buy them each a nice Christmas present. Maybe you're going to spend a little less this year because of, you know, all the stuff that we've obviously dealt with. But you go in there and you've got a good mood on you. You're feeling happy about things. And within 5 minutes of being in the craziness of a shopping mall, you wish that you'd made another decision. You wish you'd ordered everything online. I know that feeling. A lot of people.
I have a shopping playlist because of what you've just said. You know, because I get furious. I get furious at people in the shops. So I pop my music in. I've got Bluetooth earphones, and then I can't. I can only reach a certain. Jeez.
Wow, you are
okay. You're definitely not coming shopping with me.
No,
those people. Like, I have a list, and then still be like, let's walk around, let's do this, let's
walk in
this,
every aisle. Oh my god,
yes,
my mother's like that.
Simpiwe, let me ask
I refuse
you
to go shopping with my mother.
Listening to Mbulelo this morning with all of his like ways of dealing with the world and all these complications and idiosyncrasies of his, he's never going to find a wife, right? Never.
Well,
who's going to put up with all that?
Someone out there for everyone, but I would be more intrigued at the chick because I'm going to be like, who are you? Like, I know Mbulelo. We're not man. Like, what's your crazy? Because, damn, Sway. Like, you are something else. And I want
to
get to know what your something else is because Mbulelo's something else.
Yeah, he is.
But for you to beg him.
Well, Tembisa says, Mbulelo, you must be a total nightmare. Who are your friends, dude?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it's not untrue. I am an absolute nightmare to deal with. That's not a lie, Tembisa. You are dead right there.
MB says, I hate shopping malls, especially when it's busy. If I see MKT at the shop, that's you, Mbulelo. If I see you at the shop, I will race him to the rotisserie chicken.
Oh, you're going to lose that, Robin. I'm two chickens a week. They already know me now, where I shop.
That's great.
There's one lady who I know. As soon as she sees me, buzz the bell, she knows plain chicken, not the barbecue.
Do you even talk to her? Do you say hi?
No.
Like, are you?
Now we just have that thing. I'm here. Got my earphones in still.
You see, that's the problem. Like, that human interaction. That's what.
All right, listen.
I can't understand.
Before we go to Kate. Before we go to Kate,
yes.
I just want to tell you something quickly that I took your advice on. It was on your list of things to do. I think it was the beginning of the year. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But on Sunday, it's coming to a crux. I'll just give you the quick outline before we move on.
Sure.
So about 10 years ago, a guy I used to be friends with, we got into a little bit of a situation. Mm-hmm. Let me explain it like this. So he liked a girl, right? Mm-hmm. I knew, right? She knew. But situation happened. Her and I ended up hooking up, right?
Oh, okay.
But they hadn't done anything. They hadn't done anything. Nothing had happened. He didn't make a move.
So you got her before.
Yes, no, okay. And everyone knew. Mm-hmm. And everyone knew. And that caused a whole situation. So I sent him an email last week or 2 weeks ago, I think. Mm-hmm. And we're having lunch on Sunday. So because I wanted to. And I'm not asking for forgiveness,
right?
But I took your thing off to squash a beef. It was along those lines to like settle an old thing.
You don't want to
thing,
have to.
And we'll see
you're
how it goes.
Not asking for forgiveness.
No,
not saying sorry.
He doesn't want. He just doesn't want.
Firstly, I didn't do anything wrong. I mean, maybe make a move.
He doesn't want to carry the bad karma. I understand that. That's sensible. You know what? You don't need to have enemies. And if this guy's 10 years ago, it'll actually be hilarious. I'm sure you're going to have a lot of fun.
We'll see. He's quite an intense dude, but we're having lunch on Sunday, so I'll let you know how it goes. I just thought I'd share that. I did take that. Because I thought about it when you said it, and I thought that's such a smart thing, especially when you get to my age. It's like, don't look for conflicts in life. There's enough natural conflict in life.
Right.
There's no need to carry that. So yeah, I'm having lunch with them on Sunday. Let's see how it goes.
All right. Well, we have two more days to talk about the chaos and the craziness of Christmas, and there's going to be a lot of that going on. But before we get completely carried away with all of this stuff, I want to introduce someone who I absolutely love to pieces. Every time I see her and every time even when I just think of her, makes me smile. She's someone who has been in the media business for ages. She's also a great travel writer. She's one of South Africa's best known broadcasters. She used to host a show called Believe It or Not on Sunday nights on Talk Radio 702 in Cape Talk. I was her producer for a while. I was a very average producer, but she put up with me. And she was the winner of the 2019 Bokodo Woman in the Media Award, among others. I mean, this, you know, I'm not going to list all of her achievements because we'll be here all day and we'll never get to talk to her. She's an absolute institution, and I don't mean the crazy kind. She is Kate Turkington. Look at her. Hello, Kate Turkington.
Morning to you all. Good morning. I don't think I've ever been called an institution before. Gareth, it sounds a bit serious. By the way, I'm a bit croaky because my family and I are all just getting over Omicron.
Oh, well.
And I just want to say thank God for the double vaccination because nobody got really sick.
Good.
We got sniffles, a bit fluey, ran a bit of a temperature, and thank goodness, here we are. So this deep, throaty, sexy voice, won't stay with me all that long.
Well, it is it's a lovely, sexy voice. So, Kate, it's so lovely to see you. I'm so glad that you and your family are over the Omicron, and you're right. You know, if people are still wondering.
I have a very big family, and we were in a bubble of eight. So there's another eight that weren't with us on holiday, but you know, you feel like wah 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 wah. You're double vaccinated. You've had Omicron. What could possibly go wrong? She says as she falls off a chair and breaks her neck. But you know what I mean? You feel quite Teflon.
Well, listen, I'm so happy to see you, and it's this time of year. Obviously, people are spending time with their families. A lot of us are very excited about that time. You are just one of the most inspiring people because it seems to me that there is never, ever, ever a dearth of energy with you. There's always so much energy. Somehow you manage to make every year a better year than the previous one. It's rude to ask, but because in your case it's such an incredible thing, you don't mind telling people how old you are, right?
Not not at all. 87 going on about 150.
87.
And I've had the most amazing, amazing busy year because, you know, with Flow Communications, I do loads of media training. Mm-hmm. And I worked out, I trained about over 50 people this year.
Wow.
Been in seven different countries virtually, everywhere mm-hmm. from India to Washington, D.C. to Angola. And I just, you know, I'm so lucky to have such an interesting life. I just made a bit of a list of the kind of people I've been working with.
Yeah, let's
and
hear it.
It goes, I can't believe it. It's like foreign ambassadors, diplomats, the owner of a sports team, scientists, insurance company, medical specialists, marine biologists, animal rights organization people, financial services people.
That's
teachers
phenomenal.
And students. And,
now,
and, you know, one learns so much. And also some of the small government agencies, you know, people don't tell the world what they're doing. We've been working with one little government agency who looks after inventors. I'm oversimplifying terribly. Mm-hmm. So there's some guy in Limpopo who thinks he's got an invention. Mm-hmm. He'll apply it to this agency. They process it. They look at it. And if it's good, they'll run with it. And mm-hmm. let me tell you some of the things they've done. There's one young guy who's just got his PhD from Stellenbosch. He's from Limpopo. He has discovered something nobody else in the world has discovered, some early markers for breast cancer.
Wow.
There's another scientist who's found an enzyme in pineapples that actually is curing pigs of swine flu. So who knows? One
wow.
of my favorites is solar powered wheelchair. I mean, that is so good. And this one you're going to hate, but I've got to tell you, and I won't tell you who sells it, but very, very, very delicious ice cream sold by a very, very famous shop made of black flies.
Black.
And it actually tasted, didn't tell me till after I tasted it, it was made of black flies, but it was great. And all these are local inventions by local people. They're working on just the most amazing things. And we never get to hear this.
Phenomenal.
And we say to them, don't tell us, don't wait till something bad happens. Tell us the good times. Tell us what you're
You know, you make such a good point, because in the media world, most people are reactive. They wait for something awful to happen and then they react to that. They spin, you know, they try to control the PR angle or they try to spin it. And very often that's an impossible task. Sometimes you just can't control that narrative. But if you're telling people these great stories, I mean, even if it is something as revolting as black fly ice cream, which, as you say, you shouldn't tell people before they have it, but those kinds of stories, I think, are fascinating. And people in this country are extremely inventive. We're extremely we're hungry for success. There's so many young people with great ideas. It's a good time to be alive, right?
Exactly. Do you know, I think it's a great time to be alive. And I think we all need a bit of a shot in the arm or something up there. I was talking to, didn't ever mean to get political, but I was talking to a very distinguished English political scientist about 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And he said to me, you are so lucky to be living in South Africa. He said, you know what? You're on the cusp. The pendulum is swinging. And he said, do you know why you've got such a good working democracy? Even though we moan and groan and gloom and doom. He said, South Africa, you've got the four great pillars of democracy. You have a superb constitution, one of the best in the world,
right,
and it's respected. Secondly, you have a free press. You probably know we are third in Africa with Namibia, Ghana at the top, and we are one above the UK on the global list.
There we go. There we are.
Take that. So, constitution, free press, free and fair elections, and number four, and I had never considered this, no military intervention.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. You know,
and suddenly you forget the fact that the election is going off.
But this is,
you know, and I have a very good friend, and at the risk of sounding too Facebook cheesy,
yeah,
the grass isn't greener on the other side of the fence. The grass is as green as you make it.
Well, Kate, this is why I like having you on the show and why I love talking to you. And I owe you a lunch again because we haven't done that for a long time. But as soon as, I mean, now that you've had Omicron, you're pretty much immune. So I'll take you out for lunch after Christmas. But you are like our wise elder, and there are a lot of wise people who've seen a lot and who have the perspective and who have the ability to see things in context like you do. And it's good to hear from you, because there are many of us who live in our day-to-day lives and we become mired in the trivial stuff. You know, oh, this didn't work out for me, or there was traffic this morning, or that person is irritating me, or this relationship has broken down, or, the, you know, my finances aren't in good order. And those are not the important things. I mean, in all your years of experience and all the places you've been, the people you've met, the amazing things that you've been exposed to and that you have exposed yourself to, because that's also something I've learned from you, is that you've got to explore. You've got to actually go to the trouble of finding out and being curious about things. In all of that experience, those little things don't really matter so much, do they?
And also, I brought up my own children with varying degrees of success. I always say I have the typical functional, dysfunctional family, but I brought them up to do what they're good at and what they enjoy. And some of them studied the most arcane kinds of subjects. They've all ended up doing well. And I also say to them, sorry, this sounds like old fart mode, but I'm very lucky. I have 9 grandchildren, ranging from 32 to 10. They all live in Johannesburg. So I get obviously see them quite a bit. And I say to them, you know what? Money, okay, you've got to have enough money to have a roof over your head. Money is intrinsically bound up with survival today. Okay, have enough money, but if you've got money, spend it on experiences, spend it on stuff. Don't wait till you're an old person, because I look around me and I look at not so much my friends, but I look at other people who now are old. They've got pots of money. I'm old. I don't have a cent to my name, although I do have a roof over my head and 2 rescue Jack Russells. But I have the most wonderful experiences and memories, because people can take things away from you. Somebody can come to your house and steal your car, steal this. They can't take memories. They can't take experiences. And that's what's so special.
Well,
so if you've got money, folks, spend it. And spend it not on new toys or whatever. Go somewhere. Spend it on experiences. And they're the best things to give your children. Don't buy them a fancy new drone or whatever. Take them somewhere. Spend a day with them. Go fishing.
Do fun things.
Do something. Go to Brie Flay. We've got wonderful places.
Bolelo, I know this is right up your street, right? And I see you celebrating while Kate was saying that now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know what, Gareth, too? You were talking about shops. And because I live on the same property as my daughter, Tiffany, one of her children has no immune system. So we've had to be super, super careful for months. So about a month ago was the first time I went into a shop. Oh, my word. It was like Aladdin's cave. I walked up and down spellbound by seeing things as everything's been coming on. I haven't plucked up courage yet. I have to wait some out of quarantine to go to a mall. I hate malls.
Oh, me too.
Anyway. Yeah. But I think it might be quite exciting after
all the lockdown, yeah. Well, I mean,
but then what have we got? We've got birds. I feed my birds as I'm talking to you. I can hear a peep my frog. I've got little bronze mannequins eating sea. I've got doves. There are more doves in Johannesburg than the whole entire world. But there's so much to be thankful and happy for. And that doesn't mean I don't get down sometimes.
Of course.
I do.
Yeah.
But it's nothing as strong branding.
Well, can I actually ask you about that? Because this is something quite relevant. You know, there've been a lot of older people, and again, I don't put you in that category because when I think of you, you're kind of ageless.
Well, I think at 87, I damn well deserve to be put in that category.
but there are lots of old people who've been completely isolated, Kate, and you've been lucky to be with your family, which is obviously good. Lots of healthy old people who have survived, who've now been vaccinated and all the rest of it and are trying to get back into life, but many of them haven't made it because of loneliness. And this is a big thing. If you are, you know, in an old age home, for example, I feel so sorry for some of these people, older men and women who've been locked up in there. They've been mostly healthy. They've survived it, but some of them haven't survived mentally. You've got to be connected to the world. You've got to be able to see people. You've got to be able to interact with people. And you've been doing that virtually a lot, but you've at least had your family around.
You know, if I had the time, it's on one of my on a list of things I want to do. I would love to go into some of these retirement villages and just teach people how to use either Facebook or Zoom or any virtual platform, because I have a friend who lives in a retirement home, and the people I've met with her, oh no, we don't do that, we don't do that. And it's fear. It's absolute fear that they're frightened to be either shown up or they don't know what to. And it's so damn easy. Look at us. When I grew up all those years ago, when dinosaurs ruled the earth, we had blue air letters. Your mum and dad would remember this, Gareth. We had a blue air letter, very flimsy. We posted it off. It would take 6 weeks to get to its destination. And then if the person you've written to writes back straight away, another 6 weeks before you get a reply. Now, how long does it take something to go viral? Is it 12 seconds?
Seconds, yeah.
I mean, and to think, you can be in India, you can be in Uganda, you can be in Morocco, the most amazing places, just sitting in your own home with the dogs locked away and everybody sworn to silence.
So, Kate, you are a traveler, though, and travel has been hit really hard in the last while. Have you managed to get around South Africa at all? And I have. What are you missing? What are you missing the most in terms of travel?
First of all, you know, I've been writing for Photos, the big American travel company, for donkey's years. And people who don't know Photos, I mean, just to give you an idea, they publish 300 travel books a year. They're based in New York. They get 4 million visits a month to their website. Mm-hmm. So I've written on East Africa, Southern Africa, whatever. This year, I was asked to update the Garden Route. So I went down to the Garden Route last month, and I've got a terrible confession to make, and I'll probably get hung, drawn, and quartered for this, but I think the Garden Route's very overrated. people, look, it's very pretty, and it's very nice, but, I mean, who will go to Knysna for a holiday? God. Anyway, so I've been updating Photos. I did the whole garden. I love Mossel Bay. Mossel Bay is unpretentious. It's fun. It's nice people. Do you know, I'm full of information now, Mossel Bay has the only north-facing beach in South Africa.
I did not know that.
Hence, one of the sunniest beaches. But as you progress along the Garden Route, it gets more and more zhuzh. You know, it's a bit like Clarence on steroids as you go along. finally end up in Plettenberg Bay, which of course has the most wonderful, wonderful beaches. But then, because I was there before season, there's that Millionaire's Mile. Mm-hmm. There's that row of huge, 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 ugly mansions that only get inhabited for 2 weeks when folks and their teenage children come down en masse. And I'm sounding terribly judgmental. My kids say to me, "You're so judgmental." I said, "Bloody right, I'm. I've earned the right to be judgmental."
Absolutely.
And then I got to Kruger. We managed to get to Kruger. I got to Modikwe. I got to Dahlstrom in winter, but survived. So, and then there are lots of places round about. You know, I'm a birder. Still, after all these years, president of Santon Bird Club.
Are you?
I take kids to Maury Vale. We go to Reefley. Where else have I been? The Garden Route. I'm making a list here. Helensburg, of course, one of my favorite
that's awesome.
Places in the
where
whole
are you,
world.
Where are you, what are you hankering for in terms of international travel when that opens up again? Because you've been all over.
We're thinking, I would just before lockdown, we were in Sri Lanka. Oh, loved it, loved it. So some of the family and I are thinking, when possible, of going back to Sri Lanka this year, getting a lovely house in a paddy field somewhere where it's quiet and peaceful and just chill. But, the people are lovely in Sri Lanka. And, of course, I love cricket. I'm a cricket fan. Oh, yeah.
Damn right. So, I knew it, Kate. I knew you were special. Cricket. I knew it.
And, you know, Gareth, and all of you, one of my best experiences in my entire life. I was in India to see the tigers and the Penge National Park, which is where Rudyard Kipling wrote The Jungle Book, is right in the middle of India. So I flew to Delhi and I was actually on my own. And friends I had in Delhi were all away. So I was sitting there in the hotel dining room. It wasn't a very posh hotel, nice hotel, and got talking cricket with the waiters. Do you know what they did? They took me to an IPL.
Oh, wow.
I was the only non-Indian in the whole of the stadium. There's about 100,000 people. I watched, I'm trying to think, it was a long, long time ago. It was like Glenn McGrath and Shane Warne. And,
wow. Oh,
it was absolutely, and there am I. And it was, we were all sweaty and hot and shuffling and blah. It was, as I say, I was treated as if that's I amazing. Was the Queen of England. It was amazing. And that's an American woman staying in the same hotel. I said to her, I told her the next day what I'd done. She said, "Oh, weren't you scared?" I said, "It never occurred to me to be scared, not for 1 second." My late husband, Gareth, whom you know, Alan, Irish and feckless, he said to me, "The trouble with you, Kate, is you don't feel fear because you've no imagination." So there you go.
Well, that's one of the reasons we love you. And I'm just looking at all the comments. There are so many people who absolutely love having you on. And you're an inspiration. Continue to be, please. We need you to keep writing for Photos as well, because there are lots of people who rely on your expertise to tell them that the Garden Route's quite overrated and such things.
I haven't written that. That's just a very personal thing. I'm a Joburg girl. I love the Highveld. I love the bush. I love the people. If I take my dogs for a walk here, people will stop or, "Well, hi, how are you?" Or there's instant recognition and friendliness. In Cape Town, my word, they're all ice queens or they've had too much Botox and they can't smile. Anyway.
Pichleng is saying here, and Pichleng says, "Guys, you just made my day, if not my whole year, by bringing Kate on. Thank you." Yeah, there we are. That's exactly right.
Lovely. Great to meet you guys and have a great festive season.
We love you.
See
lots,
you at the cricket.
Happy Christmas and Happy New Year. And Bulela will take you to the cricket anytime you want to go.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Thank you. Thank Let's you. Done.
All right, Kate. Thanks so much. Lovely to see you. Love to the family.
Okay.
Cheers. Bye-bye. There's Kate Turkington. Isn't she fantastic?
She's 87. Amazing.
Yeah, she's... But she's
it's impossible.
Bulelo, I promise you there are people half her age who can't keep up with her, even now.
That's what I'm saying.
No, she's phenomenal.
She's got juice.
Dude, unreal. And I remember I was at her 80th birthday, and she has a party every year. I mean, she makes... She lives... She's not talking this big game. She lives experiences. She's had a full life. She said goodbye to her husband. He died a couple of years ago. It was one of the happiest wakes I've ever been to in my life because everybody was there celebrating his life. It was fun. You know, she's an optimistic, sensible person. I love her. And she gets so excited about things, even at her age. You know, you meet lots of people in their 30s and 40s. They're just not excited about stuff. They go through life and they're like, yeah, it's all right, yeah. Not no. Kate. She's just the opposite. It's fantastic to see her. Anyway,
it's a gift.
It really is.
Because the greatest gift in the world is to get other people excited about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm excited now.
Yeah.
Just talking to her. Like very few people can do what she's just done, or that I've met. Certainly,
yeah.
Getting
yeah.
people excited is tough, man.
And it comes from such an honest place. She's just the best. Anyway, I thought that would pep everyone up before the holidays yes. officially start. So there we go. There's someone you need to hear from as often as possible. Kate Turkington. Just love her. And she's really busy. She does this media training. She writes all the time. She's got a number of incredible books under the belt. So if you look her up, you'll find plenty of other good stuff around Kate Turkington to inspire you. All right, everybody. We're pretty much done for the morning. We will... See you tomorrow. Simpiwe is going to start cooking from today, you know, because she's got huge pressure.
You're great.
Well, I didn't say I'm cooking this year, Gareth.
Are you not? After all of that protesting earlier about how great your cooking is, now you're not cooking this year.
I mean, that's the choice of, like, you know, family and Christmas lunch being moved every year. When it's not at your house, I don't need to worry. All I'm worried about is the dessert. I'll make dessert maybe the night before. And yeah, then I'm going to one of my family's members and they'll worry about cooking for 3 hours. Not this year.
Love it.
This year, rest.
All right, everybody. Have a happy day. We will see you tomorrow for the second last show before we take a Christmas break. Have an excellent day and try to avoid the shopping malls if you can. Go to the little stores. Go to the mom and pop shop up the road. They're often nicer to you and you don't have to deal with all those hordes of people. And as Kate says, the ice queens of Cape Town. All right, cheers. We'll see you tomorrow. CliffCentral.com